DW Africa Link.
It is difficult to be gay in most parts of Africa. In recent years, there's been a growing crackdown on same-sex relations in some African countries. In 2023, Uganda passed a tough anti-LGBTQ+ law, which includes life imprisonment for gay sex and a death penalty for aggravated homosexuality. Ghana is also drawing strong condemnation from rights campaigners. That's after lawmakers unanimously passed one of Africa's most restrictive anti-LGBT bills. Ghana President Nana Akufo-Addo has not yet signed it into law, as his office awaits the outcome of two legal challenges to the bill. So what is it like to be a member of the LGBTQ+ community? And how can their safety be ensured? That's what's coming up. I am Eddie Micah Jr., and you are welcome to Africa Link, the podcast connecting you to the stories that matter from Africa and beyond.
Africa Link, every weekday, here on DW.
Ghana's Supreme Court is examining a lawsuit filed by Richard Sky, a private legal practitioner, against the anti-LGBTQ bill passed by Parliament in February 2024. The lawyer sued the Speaker of Parliament and the state for passing a bill he says is unconstitutional. The case could have far-reaching implications for members of the LGBTQ+ community and the future of human rights in Ghana. As the Supreme Court debates the controversial anti-gay bill, members of the LGBTQ+ community are still fighting for official recognition and the protection of their human rights. Let's welcome Alex Kofidonko. He's the founder and current director of LGBT+ Rights Ghana, helping to champion a safe, inclusive, and free society for LGBTQ persons in Ghana. Hello, Alex. Good to speak to you again.
Good to speak to you too.
Also joining us is our very own Isaac Kaleji, DW correspondent in Accra, Ghana. Hello, Isaac.
Hi, Eddie.
Good to hear your voice again, Isaac. So, Alex, must be challenging times, difficult times, a lot to think about. I mean, Ghana has been in the spotlight a lot because of this very controversial anti-gay bill, being described as one of the harshest bill to ever land in Parliament, which, by the way, it passed in Parliament. How is all of this back and forth with the bill affecting the LGBTQ+ community in Ghana?
First of all, I would say that this bill is an unnecessary bill considering the society that we find ourselves as Ghanaians. But for this bill to have really taken shape and taken hold of the Ghanaian society, whereby it's gone through Parliament, it's gone through the executive arm of government, and now at the judiciary level, really goes to point or challenge our existence as Ghanaians, and is challenging our democracy in various ways. First of all, to the LGBTQ community, this bill really came at a time where I believe we were going through a lot of challenges. You know, getting medical services as LGBTQ persons was incredibly difficult to assess because one is discriminated once they enter into any health facility to access services. Again, when it comes to violent abuses and discrimination that a lot of people face within the LGBTQ community, it was also high within the Ghanaian society. Unemployment, especially towards LGBTQ persons, were also high. Also, mental health challenges as a result of the discussion of the LGBT issues and how it is discussed in a way that doesn't give grace or any form of kindness to the LGBTQ person was also incredibly high. But then all of these issues were not tackled or were not handled. But the opposite was what we saw, right? Where the introduction of this bill further increased and gave legitimacy to all of these discrimination and all of these abuses that we were facing.
I'm definitely going to get you on the legal battle going on. Of course, we have no idea what the outcome would be. But Isaac, as our correspondent, you've been speaking to people all over, again, regarding this legal battle. How are they responding to this? What do they expect to come out of it? Are they in support of the bill? That seems to be most likely situation on the ground, isn't it?
Yes, so majority of Ghanaians, obviously, you will tend to believe, support the bill, of course, because yeah, representatives in parliament obviously did that. And if you talk to generally the Ghanaian populace, people around, they seem to be inclined to the bill. So obviously, once it was passed, they were expecting the president to sign it into law. But of course, we have a community, or let me say a section of the population, which also believe that the bill really has other implications. And so obviously, it ought not be signed into law. It's not because perhaps they are members of the community, but they just think generally, in terms of human rights and the freedom of people, passing the bill or signing it won't help the generality of the populations.
Right. Isaac, tell us more about, for those that support the bill and those that are against the bill, tell us more about the arguments that they are making for or against it.
For those for the bill, obviously, they believe that this is against the culture and the religion of the country. I mean, talking about those mostly are Christians, mostly are Muslims. And so they believe that this bill doesn't conform to their religious beliefs. And culturally, they also believe that in their culture, this doesn't align with that. But for those against, they are looking at a broader perspective of human rights. That if, for example, I'm a journalist and I report about a topic of LGBT and I perhaps speak to some members of the community, I may be seen to be promoting it. So then I can't risk going to jail. So, or for example, the academics who may have to research about a topic or write about it, they risk obviously being also jailed. So for such people, they think that this is just not right. And so they will speak and they are against the bill. So basically that is where the perspective from which those for and against are coming.
Alex, what do you make of the argument being made by people for those that are in support of the bill, which happens to be majority of Ghanaians? What are your thoughts on the arguments they're making to support the bill?
Just like Isaac mentioned, majority of Ghanaians are basing their argument on morality and their religious beliefs whatsoever. But again, LGBTQ persons are also part of the community, are also religious people, right? Part of the community are non-religious, parts of the community are agnostics and different shades of religious beliefs that people practice. And again, we are in a country that is a democratic country and a country that is ruled by the rule of law and our constitution. And clearly within our constitution, the right to belong to a religion or not to belong to a religion is clearly enshrined in our constitution, and that it gives the individual the liberty to be part of a religious group or not to be part of a religious group. And therefore, religion cannot be the basis to which we undermine our lives as Ghanaians. And therefore, that argument, it's neither here nor there. And that's where we are trying to draw the minds of all these people to. And again, relying on religion as the basis to discriminate against a section of the Ghanaian society is rather unfortunate and sad, in a sense that we believe that religion, as much as they say, it talks about empathy and love and kindness and mercies and all of that. And we've always asked the question, where is the kindness? Where is the mercy? Where is the grace? Where is the empathy when it comes to the LGBTQ community? And this is something that they haven't been able to respond to.
Seems like a pretty straightforward question to answer, right? But it becomes difficult because of the arguments that they make. Back to the court case, or let's get to the court case. Are you optimistic in any way, Alex, that the results from the court case will be a step in the right direction or not?
I want to believe that the judiciary or the courts will rise up to its mandate as the body that really interprets the law and then gives policy advice to the legislature and then also to the executive. And then clearly within our constitution, it gives right to Ghanaian citizens. And this bill is an affront to our constitution. So I really hope and believe that the court will rise up to an occasion and then be able to throw this bill out.
So, Isaac, isn't it then a bit surprising, looking at lawmakers that know the law, that know the constitution, that in parliament it passed and that they are still pushing for this bill to pass, still pushing for the president to sign? One would think that they should know the constitution and respect it, right, Isaac?
Yes, that's the assumption. And that is why I think it's important to be in court, for the Supreme Court to decide for us exactly what really the position of the law is, whether this bill actually violates the constitutional provision or not. So I think we all want to wait to see what the Supreme Court says or rules. But again, you realize that for many of the members of parliament, some of the reasons why they are pushing this obviously is political, because most of your constituents obviously are looking up to say, if you don't support the bill, then obviously it means that you are inclined to the community of LGBT. Mm-hmm. And of course, because of the cultural and the religious kind of undertones, then they risk some votes. And so many of them is purely political, even if they disagree with some aspects of the provision. And again, I must say that, yes, the bill obviously had to go through some kinds of revision, just because, of course, the original version was quite not acceptable for many people. But even in this current stage, there are still human rights activists who believe that it's just not the way to go.
And as Alex, you were alluding to the fact that this debate is continuing and the court is, you know, hearing the matter and all the legal angles are trying to be, you know, looked at so that a bill is not passed into law that will infringe on the constitution. That for you and members of the community is at least a bright spot in the darkness. You have this organization, you know, where you're trying to make members of the community feel safe. What exactly are you doing to ensure that? How are you doing that?
So how we are doing that is to just draw Ghanaians' mind to the fact that LGBTQ persons are also, there are Ghanaians who are LGBTQ persons and they exist within the society and therefore needs to be given the voice to, or also needs to be listened to. And that it's okay in a society if there are diverse views or there are diverse thoughts around issues. And in cases where issues are not understood, people are free to express their opinion, but it is also fair for the community to also be given the opportunity or the chance to also make a case for themselves. And that's what we exist to do, to draw Ghanaians' minds to the fact that we are equal Ghanaians. We also exist within the society. We equally have the same rights as every other Ghanaian and therefore needs to be given this opportunity to speak up for ourselves in cases where we are being criminalized. Unfortunately, that hasn't been fruitful in the sense that we haven't been given the opportunity as much as we would wish to be given, but we are also using our organizations, we are using our advocacy, we are using activism, we are using various means to still draw Ghanaians' minds to the fact that LGBTQ persons who are also Ghanaians still exist in our society and therefore needs to be given the opportunity to speak up for themselves and also given the right to exist freely in a society that right. is democratic, in a society that allows for every individual to live up to their full potential and be able to contribute towards the development of the country. And that's right. where we still stand. And some of the things that we also do is that we also serve as a bridge between the LGBTQ person and then the resources that they would need to be able to live in the country, like social services, like legal services, medical services, economic opportunities and all of that. We try to look for resources to be able to serve the community in that means. And that's what we assist and the work that we are doing.
And how difficult is that? Because, you know, by doing this, you're going to be approaching the vast majority of people in Ghana who probably don't even want to hear what you have to say, talking about equality and all, which, you know, on the surface, you wonder, why don't you consider me as Ghanaian as you? But yes, you may be facing those challenges. Tell us more about those challenges.
Yes, absolutely. The challenge has been enormous. And when you listen to so many of the arguments that people make, it's rather sad because most of these arguments that people make to justify their hate or their bigotry towards the community are also the same challenges or the vulnerability that the LGBTQ person, you know, is facing every day. For instance, we are in a country where economically things are incredibly difficult. We are in a country where in terms of socioeconomic developments and basic social amenities and, you know, the everyday life of a Ghanaian is being difficult. And this is a result of some of our political decisions that we've taken and the fact that it's affecting every other Ghanaian, you know. So we have all the hope that if really we want to really make a change within the society, then we really need to find what aligns with each other. The LGBTQ person who is facing violent abuses and all of that one way or the other. We've had incidents where even a military officer had to face a violent abuse somewhere in 2018 or 19, if I'm not mistaken, you know, where he was brutally murdered and all of that. We are drawing Ghanaians' minds to the fact that these things happen every day in our society, and it is happening mostly towards the LGBTQ community. We have incidents where, you know, Ghanaians go to the hospital and then you look at the state of the hospital and then you wonder as a society, what kind of services are we rendering to ourselves? You know, in a very deplorable state, the LGBTQ person goes also to the hospital and is discriminated against. These are some of the things that as Ghanaians we continuously face. And we are drawing our minds to that. There is high level of unemployment, but the LGBTQ person goes and tries to find employment. And just by their mannerisms or their physical look alone, are not given the opportunity to even prove themselves employment-wise. LGBT persons are sacked from school because of their perceived or known sexual orientation or gender identity. These are the everyday challenges that we are going through. Again, we are also in a society where I would say even the state of our school system is also not the best, you know. So there is so much that is common among us as Ghanaians. And the fact that we let go of all of these things, but then target the LGBT community and then impose all forms of wild thoughts and propaganda and then hate towards the community, it really looks incredibly misplaced. And we're still drawing Ghanaians' mind to the fact that, listen, you can't challenge me to that extent because I do not hold any form of control in any form of the Ghanaian society. All what I'm trying to do or what we are trying to do is trying to survive in a country that looks bleak in terms of opportunities and in terms of chances for development and anything that we could do for ourselves.
Right. All lives matter. And in particular, for the purpose of this discussion, we're talking about members of the LGBTQ plus community, particularly looking at the challenges that they face every day. Their lives need to be protected. We've been talking about the struggles of members of the LGBTQ plus community for many years. I mean, you and I, we've been speaking from time to time about the constant challenges being faced. However, from where we were to where we are now, one could easily argue that not much has changed. But looking at a glass half full, how optimistic are you that based on where we are, there's a future that you feel someone like you would not have to worry about expressing yourself and telling people this is what you're proud to be?
To be honest, I am worried. I'm worried on so many levels. You know, as a queer Ghanaian, I am worried for my safety. I am worried for my existence in a country that I've been born in and I've come to know as part of it. Again, when you look at it from the economic perspective, I am equally worried. What is my future as a Ghanaian? You know, considering all the economic challenges that we are going through and all of that. Again, in terms of religion and all these other institutions that has been put in place to serve as safety nets for us as Ghanaians, we always see the absurdity within some of these institutions and how they are amassing resources at the expense of the ordinary Ghanaian, and therefore does not even look at the needs and the role that they have to play as religious institutions, you know, our spirituality, our physicality and everything. So many things are in the words, to be honest. And therefore, I am worried for myself now, and I'm equally worried for my future. And it is the same for so many Ghanaians.
I was really hoping that I could have some sense of optimism looking at the future of Ghana, but it doesn't seem like that's what you feel right now, is it?
Absolutely. I don't feel that at all.
Isaac, what are your final thoughts? What does the future hold for members of the community in Ghana? Looking at the current situation, it seems quite dark, but is there optimism somewhere?
I'm hoping that the court can rule quickly and we could all see the way forward, and then everyone can decide how to adjust to the new era.
I am pretty sure whatever comes out of the court, we here at DW will jump on that and let the rest of the world know. Fingers crossed that it will mean a brighter, better future for any Ghanaian, no matter how they identify themselves as. Thank you very much, guys. Thank you very much, Alex Kofi Donkor, founder and current director of LGBT Plus Rights Ghana, helping to champion a safe, inclusive, and free society for LGBTQ persons in Ghana. Also, thank you very much, Isaac Kaleji, DW correspondent in Accra, Ghana. Much appreciated. So how does Ghana compare to other countries in Africa? Let's look at Namibia in Southern Africa. In June 2024, a top court struck down colonial-era laws criminalizing same-sex relationships, a historic verdict against a pushback on LGBTQ rights in Southern Africa. The judgment overturns rarely enforced laws dating back to 1927, which Namibia inherited from the colonial era but maintained after gaining independence from South Africa in 1990. For more on the situation, let's bring in Vita Angula, a journalist in Namibia. Hello, Vita.
Hello, Eddie, and thank you for having me.
Great that you made the time to join us. We've heard about a situation in Ghana, very challenging. There's actually a court case going on, and the results of that court case will decide the future of members of the LGBTQ plus community in Ghana. To Namibia, how safe is it for members of the LGBTQ plus community?
Namibia has made significant strides in terms of safety of the LGBTQ community by enacting laws. Last year, in June, the Supreme Court ruled in favor of a gay couple that had appealed earlier judgment by the High Court where their marriage was not recognized. So the Supreme Court of Namibia ruled that marriages solemnized between same-sex people outside of the country can still be recognized in Namibia. The basis of this ruling was that to deny people and same-sex couples in Namibia the right to have their marriage recognized is to deny them equality and to infringe on their dignity. In June this year, another man challenged the sodomy law, and the High Court also ruled in his favor and found that the Unnatural Offenses Act and also the sodomy law, which were laws which Namibia inherited from apartheid, were not in line with the country's constitution. So right. I think Namibian people from the LGBT community find safety in the laws of the country.
So far, but we are hearing some arguments lately that some lawmakers are trying to change this. Tell us more.
After the ruling on the same-sex couple, one of the parliamentary backbenchers actually brought private members' bill to change the Marriage Act to expressly state that the marriage in Namibia is between a man and a woman. That law was unanimously passed through Parliament and through the Second House of Review, and it was only awaiting the President's signature. A new development was that the Minister of Home Affairs tabled a bill to replace the Marriage Act of 1961. And in that bill, also in his statement, he expressly stated that this bill is a countermeasure against the Supreme Court ruling on same-sex relations, which will set back what was referred to as a victory for the LGBT community, because Parliament is the one that actually drafts and enacts the laws, and the court only interprets the law. So right. In the previous act, it was not expressly stated that the union of marriage is between a man and a woman. But in this law, it now does.
So there's clearly some sort of push and pull, right? How are people reacting to this?
The main polarization, I think, is coming from the church. The religious institutions in Namibia have been the most vocal against the practice of homosexuality. And Namibia prides itself as being a 90% Christian population, but people also ask the question, are we Christian by belief or are we Christian by culture? There are also segments of the society who accept LGBT people. Namibia is known as a country that is might be homophobic in expression against, but LGBTQ people have always had acceptance.
Thank you very much for your insights, Vita Angula, journalist in Namibia. Now, while a handful of African countries have legalized same-sex relationships, South Africa remains the sole African nation which allows gay marriage. Was legalized in 2006. Legal efforts to improve LGBTQ rights have drawn protests also in neighboring Botswana and Malawi over the past year. But rights groups and activists say that the fight will continue until all human beings are truly treated equally under the law. That's it from this edition of Africa Link. Join the conversation on our Facebook page, that's DW Africa. Listen to us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcast from. Click follow so you don't miss an episode. This show was produced by Crispin Mwakideo, and I am Eddie Micah Jr. Thanks for listening.
DW. Made for Minds.